CliffCentral.com.
Good morning. Hi, my name is Ben, and together with Sia and Mabali, this is the Gareth Cliff Show. Gareth Cliff is not with us. He is in Austin, Texas, and currently I think he's getting hammered.
That's all right. I mean, when you're in a different part of the world, doing things that you otherwise wouldn't be doing, do it to the max. Do your thing, Gareth.
And do it with the masses.
Yeah.
On a weeknight.
Sure.
Well, I get the impression, right, this Austin, Texas isn't just like a party. It's just that's just how it is every week. I know South by Southwest is a really big deal, but people just, every time I see those uploads of Gareth's on Instagram, I always think like, maybe this is how Austin is like all the time.
Imagine. I feel like it's too trippy for my liking, actually. Yeah.
What, like all these hipster people and really cool places to go to?
I don't know if it really is a party like that. It's a bit too much then, 24/7.
See, you would love it.
No, I'm too old for this.
My goodness.
What, are you counting yourself in dog years?
Oh, if you're too old, then I'm ancient. Wow. It's far too early for you to be having talks like that with yourself, Sia.
You know what, I appreciate it, but no thank you. So Gareth can have all of the fun on my behalf.
Yeah, so basically Gareth won't be with us today, hopefully tomorrow. I know he was meeting up with some extra rugby players and some other South Africans he's come into contact with there. But you're most welcome again in touch with the show as usual, WhatsApp line 079-748-2009. Just drop us some messages there, leave a name, and I will interact with you on a variety of things. As always, there is nothing that cannot be discussed on this show. It is a discuss all show. If this is your first time listening, wow, you're in for a treat.
By the way, next week, Tuesday, none of us will be here because it is Human Rights Day.
Oh, brilliant.
Oh, yes.
21st of March.
I always forget that we have these things with public holidays. Mm.
It will be a public holiday, so none of us will be here next week this time.
Ah, okay.
I thought you were breaking some news. You were like, none of us will be here. I'm like, what's going on? Do we get a day off that I don't understand? Are we all fired? Like, what's going on exactly?
Yeah, I thought you had enough of Gareth gallivanting all over the place and you were just calling a big mass action strike.
Ah, no. Just your standard public holiday procedure.
Oh, wow. If Human Rights Day is already next week, that means a whole string of public holidays galore is coming up as well.
It's going to get into that Good Friday / Easter Monday business. Freedom Day stuff.
That is amazing. So Sean says he's listening all the way from Bulgaria.
Oh.
And he then goes on, says the thing here, you give an inch, people take a mile. Listen to this. Just one proposal, guys. Can you start on time? We'll be much more professional. Have a good show. Cheers from Bulgaria. Oh, I'm sorry, Sean. From Bulgaria, everything obviously runs on time. Yeah, sometimes we get in here and I just need to find a clip or two. And we don't restart. It's a 6 to 9 show. But, you know, if it's a podcast, does it really make a big difference?
No, not really.
Not really.
No.
I'm Googling Bulgaria and the second thing that comes up is Bulgaria safe?
Well, clearly not, because Sean's just petrified about time.
Sorry, Sean.
So last week we spoke quite a bit about Ed Sheeran, right? The fact that he had infiltrated Taylor Swift's harem. It is a harem, huh?
That's far too big a word for me.
Harem like the club.
Yeah. So we saw it. Part of this whole thing was a big marketing sort of play, right? It's like he's got a new album coming out. He's got a whole bunch of new work. Suddenly he's part of Taylor Swift's sex gang. And look
sex
at that.
Sex gang.
Let's call it what it is.
Well, he himself
Taylor Swift is a madam. Taylor Swift's a madam. There. Says. You can quote me.
He's going on tour now himself, so...
You can quote me in that. Taylor Swift is a madam. So he's going on tour. He's got a whole bunch of new stuff, and he's got 9 singles in the top 10 right now, which is a world first.
Yeah, I was going to ask. He's breaking some other kind of record with that, isn't it?
Yes.
I saw... Calvin Harris apparently tweeted him the other day and said, congratulations to Ed Sheeran for breaking my record, because apparently Calvin Harris...
Well, he was also in Taylor Swift's sex ring.
I don't know. I mean, Calvin Harris was... He belonged to Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
I don't think she allowed any of her girlfriends, you know, to have their way with him as well.
Yeah.
Because Taylor strikes me as a very possessive girl. She can't share her man.
But I'm sorry, that is such like, what's the term for it? It's not like a sincere compliment.
What?
What, you're in Taylor Swift's sex ring?
No, Calvin Harris, what he said to Ed Sheeran, like, congratulations, Ed, for taking over my record. Why is it about you, Calvin? Couldn't you have just said congratulations, full stop?
No, Sia, because that's not how Hollywood works.
Okay, but we are on the same page, so that it is a bit...
No, I mean, that wasn't even the tweet in full. He tried to make it playful because he said, I love you, but I hate you.
Okay,
you know,
okay.
I think in the moment he thought that he was just being funny. And maybe the two of them have that kind of banter relationship.
Yeah,
okay. Ed Sheeran won't take it seriously, but you will.
See, like, to me,
if it was a joke, then I get it.
To me, Ed Sheeran strikes me as the kind of guy, if you see in a bar, you can go to him and say, what's happening, you old ginger bastard? And he would be like, hey, mate, what's going on? You know, like, he just seems like that kind of guy. It's very basic banter around there.
He says, Ed Sheeran just beat my UK record top 10s from number one album in 1 week. Congrats, Ed, but also F you. I love you, but also F you.
Yeah.
That's okay. That's funny.
So he's got 16 songs in the top 20, 9 in the top 10, and he is the fastest selling album by a male artist in the UK ever.
Oh. In the UK ever?
Yeah.
Sure. That's quite
outrageous. All because of Taylor Swift. It is. It's absolutely amazing.
No, Ben. No, it's not because of Taylor Swift.
Look, it's just like sport, right? Everyone who gets to the top is good.
Okay.
What's the extra bit, okay? What's the extra bit that makes you fantastic? And in music, it's got a lot to do with marketing. It's like, how do the Kardashians get into reality TV and become bigger? They were prepared to show things that other people were. That got them in the game, right?
Okay.
But it was relentless pressure on constantly showing that stuff. That's what gave them the edge of other reality shows. So Taylor Swift... She is the facilitator to take Ed Sheeran to the next level.
Taylor Swift has nothing to do with an Ed Sheeran song getting to number one.
Of course it does. Everyone knows Ed Sheeran's music is good, right? I mean, I forget what his songs are called now. But I'm a bad example. Don't take my word for it. But if you listen to Ed Sheeran's song and go, yeah, that's pretty cool. But then someone goes, hey, did you hear that Ed Sheeran's banging all the Taylor Swift's friends? Everyone's like, yeah, I can listen to that song now.
I know, Ben.
That's how life works, guys.
We only found out recently that he's been banging Taylor's friends. He's been getting number one songs before we even knew that.
Okay, yes. Well, I tell you this much. If he wasn't banging Taylor Swift's friends, we couldn't really care about this 9 out of 10 in the top 2. We'd have gone, yeah, wow, he's the album. Doing well. But here we are, we've talked about this for like 5 minutes
People
now.
People were thinking out loud, alone, you know.
Okay,
like,
you know what?
You were, yeah.
I'm not going to give Taylor Swift credit here, but I do kind of sort of agree with you on the whole marketing thing. I mean, there's that one story about how Rihanna rejected the song that ended up going to Justin Bieber. I mean, I think that when fans hear that kind of stuff, they do probably develop more of an interest in said song.
Completely.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of Bieber, he has really offended a fan.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, what did he do now?
Oh, Bieber. Tantrum-throwing pop star. This is me reading a headline from unilad.co.uk. It's always a good source for these kind of stories. Tantrum-throwing pop star Justin Bieber has come under fire once again for being a dick to his fans, this time getting caught on video telling a fan she made him feel sick. You know, because, like, we played a clip last year. Bieber's like, he's on stage, right? And these girls are just screaming at him. Mm-hmm. It's like the only way they can breathe in his presence is by screaming. It's the whole Beatles syndrome. Mm. So he's like, okay, thanks. I really love the support, but can you guys just start screaming for a bit? And they're like, ah! And he's like, okay, cool. I just really want to say something. And they're like, ah! And then it just carries on and on and on. And eventually he's like, please, just shut up. Just shut up. And they're just going, ah!
Just one more time, please.
endlessly. And Bieber's just like, okay, fuck this. Seriously, I'm going deaf. I'm going deaf. You're like stray cats.
Bieber fans really do scream like dehydrated girls.
Oh,
I
know. They scream.
It's just because they scream themselves hoarse. Yeah.
I've heard they scream at a pitch that even dogs cannot stand. Because you know how dogs can hear pitches so high that we humans can't.
Yes.
Not even dogs can handle the Bieber fan pitch. It's too much.
So clearly this is a lot of pressure, right? I mean, can you just imagine, Sia, as you walk out of this door, there is about 40 people going, all day.
The mere fact that I can't imagine it makes me sort of get Justin Bieber's erratic behavior. Guys, he lives in a world unlike any of us.
A bubble.
So how is it, like, we can, he's, I will be the first to say he is 2:45. Like, he needs to be locked up a bit. He needs to have a month away from everything and just breathe. Because I don't understand the concept of having, what, like, 10,000 people camp outside my hotel room.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to sleep during the night and people are chanting my name. Like, at first you're like, oh, that's so cool. But you're like, hold up, what? And then you try to drive off and people are climbing on your car. That, guys, I understand the meltdown. Every sort of pop star goes through this because you're in a whole other world.
Yeah, exactly. Whereas Ed Sheeran would probably sleep with this girl. Bieber said, you are invading my personal space. And then she said, can I have a photo with you? So basically he said, like, okay, get out of my face. Like, I don't want you around.
But
and
at the
she's
same time,
like,
I don't condone that because he told a fan, you make me sick.
Wait, so, see, I'm getting into the word here.
Oh, sorry.
I'm really breaking down this breaking news here.
That's breaking news.
So he said, get out of my space. And she's like, okay, can I have a photo? And he's like, word for words, apparently said, look at you, you make me sick.
Mm. So, I mean, did this girl look particularly bad? Is that what he's referring to when he says, look at you, you make me sick?
Yeah.
Or was he referring to, you know, her persistence, which eventually...
Well, I guess a bit of both, really. There's been more tweets around this. Someone just said, just met Justin. Girls shoving phones in his face for a photo. And then he said, why are you also disrespectful? You'll make me sick.
Hmm.
Look, I'm on the side of Bieber here. I wouldn't think I'd ever say that. But let's get back to Ed Sheeran because he's so talented. This guy musically is so talented. People are always trying to cover his songs.
You sound so sincere when you say that.
I think I was the only one that really successfully did it a couple of years back.
All right, dementia.
But then it was so good. We can't play it anymore for copyright infringement reasons.
All right.
So Sierra has found a clip that's got, well, some better impressions. Yeah, but like that's the thing. When your music is so good, is the term imitation is the most flattering form of
best form of flattery. Benjamin,
I don't do cliches or sayings here.
So this guy's name is Shifer Bates, and it's kind of hilarious. So he does a cover of Shape of You, which is an Ed Sheeran song, but he does the cover using different impressions. So he does characters from Game of Thrones and Family Guy. He does famous actors as well. So I think it's very, very clever.
His name's Shifer Bates. He looks a bit like Shia LaBeouf.
Oh, no.
Fucking Uncle Devo on track, mate. Lays down them bars, dickhead. Out. The club isn't the best place to find a lover, so the bar is where I go. Me and my friends at the table doing shots, drinking fast, then we talk slow. And you come over and start up a conversation, well, trust me, and trust me, I'll give it a chance now. Take my helm, stop, offend the man on the jukebox, and then we'll start to dance. And now singing like, girl, you know I want your love.
Peter,
your love would make for a somebody like me. Come on now, follow my lead. Yeah, maybe crazy, don't mind me.
Say bye, let's not talk too much. On me. Come on now, follow my lead. Come on, wait, I'm handicapped.
I'm in love with the shape of you.
Jon Snow.
You push and pull like a magnet do.
Although my heart is falling too.
Christopher Walken.
I'm in love with your body. And last night you were in my room.
Damn, my bed sheets smell like you.
Every day discovering something brand new. I'm in love with your body.
Oh wow, oh wow, oh wow, oh wow. Come on, come back. Oh wow, oh wow, oh wow, oh wow. I'm in love with your body. Oh wow, oh wow, oh wow, oh wow. I'm in love with your body.
Every day discovering something brand new. I'm in love with the shape of you.
1 week in, we let the story begin.
Captain
We're going
Jack Sparrow.
Out our first day.
You and me, a thrifty sugar, I'll get you
from
your bag and I'll fill up a plate.
I kiss.
Again.
Okay.
We've got the hours and hours up by the swing of sound. Now your family is doing okay.
Even getting a taxi and kissing the backseat. Tell the driver, make the radio play. And I'm singing like,
I want your love.
Your love was handmade for somebody like me. Come on now, follow my lead. Yeah, maybe crazy, Joe might be.
I want to know the science behind impressions. Because this guy's clearly just hearing something. And he's just straight away regurgitating it.
Follow my lead.
Like, has it got to do with the fact your hearing's really good? Or has it got to the fact that your vocal range is just so incredible? Or is there something in your mind that can just do this?
I imagine it must be a combination of things because...
Gareth does good impressions. I mean, I know I can't, so I wasn't then going to go into something for self-admiration here. But there's got to be something that some people just have.
Mm.
And I so admire that. Mm-hmm. Like, that guy was just spitting characters left, right, and center there.
It's definitely very much a talent.
Absolutely.
And obviously, when you go in to watch those animation shows, right, like Family Guy or The Simpsons or South Park,
mm-hmm.
those people are all doing multiple characters.
Yeah.
And they have done, and that's what they do. But it's one thing making an impression and having like a few certain lines. Like, everyone can do a Michael Caine line.
Mm-hmm.
But when you go to then sing someone else's song in someone else's, like, it's just really, really cool. What's that guy's name again?
Schiefer Bates.
Schiefer Bates. I'm pretty sure that's not his only video. So, again, go onto YouTube, Schiefer Bates.
That's a cool name as well.
I wonder if it's real. No, but I cannot do any sort of impersonation.
Mm-mm.
Even my accents suck.
Mm-mm.
Are you...
It's okay, so yeah,
you're confirming that I do suck? Or
yeah.
like you're also...
No, you're
both.
Terrible.
Both.
But you got other talents, yeah?
Oh, we both suck.
Yeah.
Just got a message from Anonymous here on Discuss All. I used your show as an excuse to get a Tinder match out of my apartment.
But
you told her to leave because you but listened to the show, or?
We need more detail.
It's a bit sketchy.
Yeah. Oh, and guys, it seems like Tinder's down and people are heartbroken and actually all like having a meltdown over this.
That's not good.
I know, Tinder's yet to respond to this, but oh well.
Ashley says that Bieber has always had this mad attention since he was a tween, so you can't ever expect having a normal life.
Mm.
But you know, you gotta wonder, like, what does it get to? Because if he's saying to fans, "You make me sick, I hate you, get out of my face," at some stage, because you know what really happens in Hollywood, right? So the show that I really love is called BoJack Horseman. It's such a great show. It's once his fame starts to wane, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he maybe, I mean, let's just say he's got great hair now. Let's say he loses a bit of hair or he gets a little bit fat. This is going to happen in life, right? Because this is life. And then people start going, oh, you're a loser. You're a washout. At least people now are saying, oh, I love you. I love you.
Mm.
Imagine when it starts turning and it's now the negative. And then he gets a gun and then people get killed. Okay, look, I might have skipped about 7 steps there.
Yeah.
But you see where I'm going with this.
Yeah, there's a whole drug phase that probably happens before that
too.
As well.
Yeah, because normally you can get such amazing endorphins by going on stage, right? And that's mm-hmm. your high. You haven't got that anymore because you haven't got any more music. So where do you get those highs? From a guy called Pedro, perhaps.
Also,
in a car park.
Also.
Pedro, made up name.
Okay.
Absolutely no connotations towards any race, nationality, or persuasion.
Also, there'll probably be a very high risk of a lot of promiscuous sex because, you know, he's now Justin Bieber. He can sleep with pretty much any girl that he wants.
Yeah.
But when he gets to that stage where he's less attractive and he's becoming fat and he's starting to gray, not so much. But
yeah.
he's still going to want to prove that he can attract that many women. So he'll probably also go through a whole promiscuous sex phase because
yeah.
he'll be trying to desperately hold on to his youth.
Well, you'll get to that stage where your only market is basically, you know, tired housewives and nostalgic strippers.
Yeah.
That'll be your market.
Yeah.
So Bieber will be getting probably, you know, gob jobs at like middle America strip clubs or basically in a Walmart toilet.
Mm-hmm.
And once that happens and you go, cheapers, I used to be on a boat in Bora Bora with all these young honeys
with
and now I'm like,
models.
Yeah.
You see,
I'm getting depressed for him.
No.
That's why I'm just throwing it out there. To any billionaire who wants to give me a few millions, just know that I'm not going to go down a spiraling, you know, downward spiral. I'm here. I just need a couple of millions. And guys, like, Bieber could basically sit back right now, get himself a little New York apartment, and just get drunk every single weekend of his life, and he'll be fine. Bieber needs to be my friend. Let's spend the money together.
Yeah, see, I want interviews with celebs like this, right? Okay, you've got more money than you can ever spend. Why do you still do music? And they'd be like, yeah, because I love it, obviously, and it's who I am. Okay,
but when you say fans are
exactly,
they make you sick.
It's a breaking point.
You know?
But, I mean, it's your only life, so yeah, think about it. All you've ever known is showbiz. He started out busking in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, because he needed it, because he came from a broken home. He just liked playing music.
Yes.
So that's his thing. And then there's tattoos and stuff. Anyway, enough of this jibber-jabber about celebrities. One story that I just kind of ran out of time for there is horror movies that actually inspire real crimes.
Oh, dear.
So we'll get to that later in the show. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that always happened in America, just like tornadoes and hurricanes and stuff. So, yeah, no Gareth today at all. But, yeah, follow him on Instagram, GR Cliff. You can see exactly what he's up to. He's adding loads of cool videos. Yeah, so you can get a really good, like, first-hand impression of what he's doing there. Carry on with your messages. We've got a guest, as per usual, with Gareth, that he's pre-recorded in the third hour. But, yeah, Lucas is here, Sia is here, my buddy's here, I'm here. And my buddy's news.
My buddy's news. I see you, Ben.
Very clever. Very good.
Ben, see,
do you know who my buddy's
more than 40 words? Yeah.
Who's my buddy's noise?
It's that government entertainment company.
5 out of 10, but okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Good on you.
I stopped listening after that.
Excuse.
But yeah, it's time for the news. The news today is brought to you by Colcacchio Pizzeria. As I've been saying, if you haven't got this app, then you're just not taking your eating seriously. You're just not. It's a great place to go. And with a menu as comprehensive as Colcacchio's, you just really are. You're more than spoiled for choice. You're Justin Bieber for choice, actually. You got everything you possibly need. What we got, Mubs?
Okay, the young mother, Sibongile Mbambo, who was arrested on Sunday alongside with another man for the staging of the kidnapping of her baby, she and the man appeared in court yesterday, and the man, who is charged with the abduction of the baby, is hoping that a paternity test...
Oh, this is going to get messy.
...will get him off the kidnapping charge. So, Sunday and yesterday, people were speculating about the mother staged the kidnapping because she wanted money out of the father. And then yesterday afternoon, the guy who was involved in the kidnapping says, well, I am actually the biological father of this baby. So court proceedings were adjourned in the afternoon so that Phumlani Mbokazi could undergo a DNA test, which he claims will show that he is the biological father of the month-old infant. Of course, the abduction spawned a lot of Twitter reaction, as South Africans shared their dismay at the baby being kidnapped. This led to a massive police operation involving officers, vehicles, and even an aircraft. By the way, can we applaud the police in this instance? Because,
yes,
you know, we love tearing them apart when we think they're not doing a good enough job. But the fact that they had this story wrapped up within just a matter of hours, you know, they deserve to get the praise for that.
Damn right.
Now, Mbokazi is 26 years old. Him and the mother of the child, Sibongile, who is 35, appeared briefly before Magistrate Mohammed Motala in the Durban Magistrates Court. They are facing charges of defeating the ends of justice as well as kidnapping. The baby was given a clean bill of health, but she is currently being cared for by social workers at a Durban place of safety. So, they will all reconvene tomorrow in court where the DNA results will be revealed. Meanwhile, the former husband, or the husband of this woman, Christopher,
mm-hmm.
Who you know, it would seem, did not know up until yesterday that he is possibly not the biological father of this child. He refused to give any comment on the DNA testing and the possible identity of the baby. So the plot thickens.
And anticlimactic.
Yes, your sister. Your sister was supposed to be our correspondent.
Yeah, where's the inside scoops here?
Nothing was discussed at all at the office.
How is that possible?
So my sister, just a little recap. My sister works with the mother of the child who's been arrested. And she said she walked into the office. None of the superiors, like, thought this was important enough to, you know, actually confront, you know, talk about, discuss, nothing. And like her office, her desk now, you know, this is the mother's child. The mother's child, wow, guys. The mother of the child, you know, her desk is now empty and people are just like walking around it like this little isolated situation. So it's the big pink elephant in the room, which no one is discussing. So, yeah, that's ridiculous for me, but anyway.
Is this an obvious fireable offense?
I wonder.
I think it might be.
Well, yeah.
I mean, now
on a moral,
you've racked up criminal charges.
On a moral compass.
I think
it's an obvious.
I think it is a fireable offense. She's now facing actual criminal charges. So the company is well within its rights to say, well, you've brought the company to disrepute or whatever it is that they enjoy saying when they want to get rid of you.
Listen, folks, we were talking about movie plots. This is an even bigger movie plot than the story we were discussing yesterday, because this plot is really thickening up in the weirdest ways. Now there's, so many different legs to this. It's crazy.
So they'll all be back in court tomorrow, where we'll find out whether or not this guy who was part of the kidnapping is the biological father or whether he's just making that up. In the meantime, the Social Security Agency of South Africa, that would be SASSA, they have been hogging the headlines for several days now, in fact, a few weeks. Yesterday, apparently, they missed the deadline to file papers to the Constitutional Court to explain its failure to prepare itself to take over payment of social grants to beneficiaries in April. Apparently, there was some other kind of confusion that was picked up yesterday, you know, with regards to whether or not SASSA and the minister, Bathabile Dlamini, had indeed missed the deadline. But then it turned out that only papers in response to opposing counsel have been filed and not the answers which were required by the Constitutional Court. So all eyes are now on the Constitutional Court to find out exactly how they're going to respond to the fact that SASSA missed their deadline. It was a 4 p.m. deadline for them to file these papers. According to the SASSA spokesperson, Paseka Letsatsi, failed to respond to detailed questions yesterday on whether the Social Grants Agency would meet their 4 p.m. deadline. Turns out they did meet their deadline, and now there are fears that, you know, that April 1st deadline where they promised to pay the grants, that might also be missed. SASSA still a mess, very much still a mess.
I'm so tired of these people just not doing their jobs.
And also just not taking responsibility for where they've dropped the ball.
I just can't use any words anymore.
All we ever hear is these people just being so crap at their jobs.
Normal.
Forget about getting criminal charges and, you know, people frowning upon your place of work. When your place of work is just about racking up criminal charges, that's kind of where it's getting to with these what's the word? Government. I don't know. I've got so many four-letter words. I'm trying to use longer ones. Anyway, don't mind me. Any other headlines, Mubs?
Yes. In the perfect example of the system completely letting us down, a man in Port Elizabeth who is accused of stabbing his estranged wife several times appeared briefly in court yesterday when the case against him was postponed for a provisional date to be set. 47-year-old Martin Stevens from Algoa Park, he's facing a charge of attempted murder after he allegedly stabbed his estranged wife, Anna Marie. This happened outside her friend's flat in Sydenham back in October of 2015. He handed himself over to police after being on the run for 4 days after the attack. Now, subsequent to his arrest, the case was postponed several times, and Stevens eventually underwent observations at Fort England Psychiatric Hospital. Stevens, who is out on bail, is being represented by a well-known defense attorney. 15 years ago, this is where it really just boggles the mind. 15 years ago, this Stevens character reportedly killed his first wife, Hetty, and her friend, Colin Rosalie, before attempting to kill himself by turning the gun on himself. Stevens was acquitted of the double murder after the court found that he had suffered a psychiatric episode. And then what happens in 2015?
Mm-mm.
He kills his second wife. I mean, come on.
And watch, this is still, like, you hear stories like this and you just don't understand. He'll get remarried and we'll all be there in the corner of the room with our arms folded, side-eyeing this new woman like, girl, what do you expect?
Well, I'd love to hear what the explanation for this murder is going to be this time around, because after he killed his first wife, the court, you know, they said, no, he suffered a psychiatric episode. Let him go. Let him go.
Bueno.
Okay, well, now he's killed a second wife. So what are you going to say now?
See, I'm not here for that party. I am not.
I'll have more stories after 7.
All right. News today brought to you by Colcacchio Pizzeria, whether it's lunch or dinner, whatever your pizza, pasta, salad, all desires, go to that place right now, colcacchio.co.za, and the app. Got to get the app, because you can send things on the app. You can send meals to your friends. It really is such a win. Right, it's time for some sports, and wow, do I have some sporting headlines for you.
Oh,
thank you, Sia. Look at the excitement.
I'm trying here.
Commonwealth Games are not coming to South Africa.
Yay!
Oh, yeah. Is that a moment here?
Yeah.
Well,
it was going to be a complete waste.
Okay.
Yes,
yay!
It's yes, complete waste of money. But this is where the story gets sad again. 118 million rand was used for us to not get this.
But what?
Yeah. So.
We're confused. We're lost here.
Just try so hard to keep a straight face with these things. Okay, so nobody wanted the Commonwealth Games, right? The Commonwealth Games is like a DVD player. Everyone goes, oh, yeah, I used to have a DVD player, but try sell someone one right now. It was like, I don't need that anymore. Mm. Who cares? Mm. So basically, a whole bunch of cities pulled out. Durban was the only one left for the Commonwealth Games, right?
Yeah. Mm.
They spent 118 million on a bid. They then sent an entire delegation of people to Auckland for the announcement of said only one wins bid. Okay? This is money. Money all over the place. Lottery money was used to fund this whole thing. And then it comes down to this, that, well, actually, government can't give financial guarantees that this is going to go ahead. They then went back to the Commonwealth Games Committee and said, look, we don't really have lots of money, so how about we do this? And then they gave them a different sort of proposal, to which the Commonwealth Games says, you've got to be joking. So there's no more Durban 2022. The dream is over, if it was your dream, which I'm guessing it wasn't to start with. But anyway, let's go with it.
It just goes out to Minister Razzmatazz.
Yeah, and all these really great people who, again, are in charge of things.
Now, sports and good times.
I've just retweeted. There we go. Retweet of Graham Joffe. Now, we chatted to Graham Joffe on the show, I think it was early last year. Now, as you know, he's basically a journalist in exile, because his whole thing was to blow the lid off all these kind of dodgy dealings from sports, right? Which there are many, many. I mean, it was his full-time kind of focus. So Graham's basically put 10 things you probably won't see in SA Sports Media about us not hosting Durban 2022. And he goes on at length about the whole, you know, these SASCOC people, mm-hmm. like Tubby Reddy, Gideon Sam, these people who just will not go anywhere. They're like the Mugabes of sports administrators. Where's all this money going? How can you really, 118 million rand, I mean, I know people charge a mint for putting PowerPoint presentations together, but 118 million?
And with nothing to show for it now.
Who gets some of this money? I reckon there's some sneaky millions going here and there.
Sure. Because there's plenty to go around.
Nothing's been built, right? Again, I stand to be correct, but nothing has been built. No one has been hired to do anything really monumental here. Government, it is their job to work out what finances can and cannot be used. So it's not like they've had to hire auditing companies, that kind of stuff. 118 million, just so that we're already kind of given this whole thing. It puts a bitter taste in, again, the mouths of many people. You think what 118 million could do for sport development in this country, for, you know, hastening transformation in all kinds of sports, and you think, no, let's rather just all of us go to Auckland and go to this whole announcement party, which is a party, and you know that they're not flying on the cheapest flight via Ethiopia. They're going direct and they're going business class. Same with the hotels.
So who's now going to be responsible for hosting these Commonwealth Games?
Well, like I said, it's like trying to sell a DVD player. And miraculously, it looks like Liverpool wouldn't mind buying a DVD player because they seem to be the favourites to pick it up. But it's a waste of money. And look, I mean, our distrust for South African sports administrators and politicians aside, the Commonwealth Games is a bit of a joke. I mean, John Oliver had that real big piss take about it a couple of years ago. That's, you know, you've got the 100 metres, but no one from actually cares who's running. I mean, it's just a sham, really. And even the Olympics, people are pulling out of that left, right, and centre as far as bidding for it. All the big cities wanted the glamour of the Olympics. Well, look at the big cities who are still battling with it, right? Is in ruin, complete and utter ruin. We've seen like pictures of the pool looking like a toilet because it's just been left there. All those big things, Athens never really recovered. No one can really say the Olympics has done great things to their cities. So it's a lovely dream to be able to sell. The only problem is nobody's buying it. It's as simple as that. And Durban has not bought 2022 for the Commonwealth Games, and all these other jokes about the fact that we're going to get the Olympics. You know, because back in like the late 90s, where there was all this hope and medieval magic, it was like FIFA World Cup, Cricket World Cup, Rugby World Cup, all happening. And then it's like, okay, well, ultimately we're going to get the Olympics too. But in order to get the Olympics, we've got to get the Commonwealth Games. It was like this domino effect of greatness and unity and all that kind of shit. Well, unfortunately, that's all come to a grinding halt. Interestingly, though, the Rugby World Cup, the team that basically assesses who's going to win that one, they arrived in the country yesterday, the day that the Commonwealth Games were taken away from South Africa. Never a dull moment, huh? Never a dull moment. In rugby news, now, I remember Johan Coetzen, he basically came up with this bullshit story how he wants to retire from rugby because he wants to sell saddles in, like, the middle of Blikkies from Who Gives a Fuck Fontaine. Well, it turns out that there was all these legal wranglings after that, and what he wanted to do was just get more money from a different club. That whole retirement thing was just one big lie. So he has to kind of go back to Racing 92, the club that he ran away from, like a spoiled child.
Can you really, though, hold it against an athlete who wants to be paid more? I mean, why do people get so emotional about these things?
It's great. Well, then don't sign a contract until 2020, and don't sign any contracts if you can't commit to anything.
Yeah, but people contracts change their minds.
Sure, but contracts are made, and that is what holds people to anything in life. So great, you can get out of it, but it's going to cost you X amount. You can get out of it, but the next team's going to have to pay €1 million.
Look, I just imagine that, you know, he was probably having under the table conversations with, you know, certain people, and they probably, you know, tempted him and made the offering sound very sweet, and he thought, oh, well, I have to try and get out of this as quickly as possible to get to the greener side. I can understand that.
You get people who are quite simple of mind who have very dodgy agents. This might be a case of that. So anyway, I mean, whatever that happened aside, that any team that wants to pick up Johan Coetzen after this, who clearly is not that stable, they have to pay €1 million to Racing 92, right? So he's not worth that much. No one really is worth that much in rugby. So now he kind of has to go back. That's just that's the bottom line. But rumors have been circulating that he said to his friends he'd sooner go to prison than play for this rugby team again.
That's a bit extreme.
But wait.
They're lying.
The story takes an even bigger twist.
Lies!
The story takes an even bigger twist. Racing 92 is pretty much going to be merging with the other Paris club, Stade Français. Now, these are the two big Paris clubs, right? But they're going to end up merging into one club. So Coetzen's probably going to be able to come back in and play for whatever this Paris team is now. All will be forgotten. Racing 92 will no longer be, although it'll basically incorporate Stade Français. It's just, we haven't even spoken about a ball being hit yet this morning, and the sport's been jam-packed. Pat Lambie is out for about 6 to 8 weeks. He fractured a vertebra while warming up for the match against the Waratahs over the weekend.
Ouch.
Pat doesn't seem to be too durable in this game of professional rugby. We all know injuries have been dogging his career for the last couple of years. And this latest one, well, Not good. He really needed a good season. You know, this guy has been earmarked for quite some time as being the Springbok fly half. But injuries just keep cock-blocking him from success, essentially. But that's fine, because Kerwin Bosch, who I think is a supreme talent, he's sort of jumped into the void there. The utility back had an absolute incredible match over the weekend. He scored a huge amount of points for the Sharks. And if he gets an extended run, great. I'm all for it. I think that guy's really, really special. In football news, tonight you'll be able to see Sundowns playing football against Polokwane City in the PSL League. That's the local one, 7:30. But more importantly, it is the Champions League. Now, Juventus will take on Porto, 9:45 tonight. And Leicester will take on Sevilla in their last Champions League match for, well, maybe ever. Because, let's be honest, they're not going to get back in the Champions League. So Juventus hold a 2-0 advantage over Porto going into the second leg here. And then this is, of course, the quarterfinals. This is where Arsenal has bowed out. And then Leicester go into the home leg against Sevilla with a 1-2 deficit. They've got the all-important away goal, even though they're behind in aggregates, the away goal. So if they get one more goal, if they win 1-0, they can win. Not going to happen though. And then tomorrow, Monaco versus Man City, Atletico versus Bayer Leverkusen, but we'll get to that close to the time. FA Cup action last night, well, Chelsea beat Man United. Man United went into the game with zero strikers because of injuries and substitution and injuries and suspensions and that kind of stuff. But it got even worse for them when Herrera was sent off after 35 minutes and then Kante eventually scored a goal, and that was that. So Chelsea are through, Man United are out of the FA Cup, although Jose Mourinho was already sort of cutting his losses by saying the Europa League and winning that is their chance in the Champions League. FA Cup does not mean that much to him, which is convenient because he's not in the FA Cup any longer. It looks like the red cards will be coming to English cricket pretty soon. There's just such dissent and animosity towards umpires nowadays that disciplinary steps have to come into place. No word if it's going to go into international cricket anytime soon, but as of October 2017, the old suits in England have basically ratified a bill to say that this is going to happen in the lower levels of cricket. This week, of course, sees more cricket action in Test match cricket. The India-Australia clash carries on, third test from Thursday, and then weather permitting, which is always the case in New Zealand, SA will take on New Zealand in Thursday as well. Yeah, I think that's pretty much it for the sport. There's always a bit of a dull day, but the long and the short of it is that Durban 2022 is not happening. So if you've got anything around Durban 2022, like you want to open a guest house, or you thought this is a really great time to add on a special wing to your house and Airbnb it, it's not going to happen. So cancel those plans. Cancel them right now. Lucas, have we got Anthony on the line? Okay, thumbs up from Lucas, which means it is time. Cancel that. Make that silly
mistake. It's time. Four.
No, I just said I'm going to cancel that. I cancel and it's still playing. I mean, what must I do? Must I cancel it three times, Apple? How about there? Four times.
There we go. See?
Time for your finance. Finance with Anthea. Anthea knows a lot about finance. And we know a lot about music and covers. This is where we meet, halfway.
Wow. Looks like Julio Iglesias.
Kind of melody that Anthea hears when the rand gets weaker. Morning, Anthea. How are you today?
Good morning, Ben. Breathing a bit easier today. The market was up 1.2% yesterday. The rand fairly constant, around 13.16 against the dollar, slightly weaker against the pound at 16.08, but still below 14 against the euro. So kind of holding its own, really. Do you think tomorrow we could get a Janet Yellen version of my song?
Janet Yellen? Who is that?
The head of the U.S. Fed committee.
I'm sorry, does she double as a karaoke star on the weekend?
Well, no, it's the week of central bankers this week. So the U.S. Fed starts their meetings today, and so she'll make the announcement tomorrow. I think we're fairly confident that she's going to increase rates by 0.25%. But I still think they'll be watching and dissecting every word she says. So far, we're expecting 3 rate hikes this year, and it's more about the timing everyone is now trying to get their heads around. That's why I asked it. But I suppose she's in lockdown now, so she won't do a song for us.
So she won't be visiting any karaoke bars anytime soon, basically.
Well, that'll be a shame. And then the Bank of Japan, Bank of England, and Swiss National Bank are all meeting this week. We're not expecting anything there. And then in Europe, we've got the Dutch polls tomorrow. I don't think they're predicting a win for the far-right candidate, you know, this Geert Wilders chap. But the market is watching to see how much support he gets, because mainly because he's in favor of the Netherlands exiting the euro. And, of course, it'll be an indication of we've still got the French elections to come and a couple of others. I think everyone – it's a busy week this week, kind of from a macro point of view. And then locally, we've got futures and closeouts on Thursday. It's a bit strange because volumes have been muted going into it, and I haven't really spoken to any of the derivatives traders yet. But if yesterday is anything to go by, then hopefully there'll be buyers of the underlying shares, and they'll help to keep our market buoyant this week. All our major indices were higher yesterday. Even our gold index was up 3%. And then Steinhoff had a nice bounce. The share was up 4% yesterday. They put out a trading statement confirming that Mattress Firm, their U.S. bedding business, would partner with Serta Simmons in a $100 million marketing deal over the next 18 months. This, of course, is after the termination of the Sealy contract. So they're just replacing Sealy there.
Okay.
And then in the financial sector, Standard Bank and the JSE, bit of laggards. Discovery, though, was up 3%. And RMI, which is Rand Merchant Investment Holdings, was up 1.2%. They reported interim results yesterday. Normalized headline earnings per share up 12%, so really good. Profit only up 4%. So RMI is the only way to get access to OUTsurance, because OUTsurance isn't listed. And OUTsurance reported earnings up 23%. I mean, in this environment when people are not buying new cars, it's quite a spectacular move. The tone from OUTsurance, though, for their forward-looking statement was very cautious. You know, they said they're expecting a slow recovery for the South African economy, and that the growth trajectory for South African operations pretty much unchanged for the foreseeable future. So even though a lot of people predicting that it really was the bottom for GDP growth in the last quarter, a couple of companies, I think, still nervous. They want to see some real evidence.
Hmm.
And then lastly, we have a new secondary inward listing coming to the JSE. So I say it's a secondary inward listing because it's a UK business, and they are listed on the UK main board. It's called Foresight Solar Fund. Their assets are solar energy plants. They currently own a portfolio of 18 ground-based solar assets or solar power assets. It looks very interesting. I mean, I haven't done all the calculations or built spreadsheets around it, but, you know, they pay an attractive 6% dividend yield in pounds. And they do, like, kind of that's their thing, you know. They want to return cash to shareholders. And so far, they've met all their dividend targets since they listed on the UK Stock Exchange. They only list early April, though, so it's one to watch, I think, one worth paying some attention to.
Okay. Anthea, I've got to just go one question here before you get going. I know we've explained this before, but this is from Anonymous again. Anthea, please explain how compound interest works on shares.
On shares specific, so is the question about compound interest or compound interest on shares? I'm not sure. So compound interest.
Well, look, if you had to go word for word in this message, it says, please, Anthea, ask to explain how compound story works on shares.
Okay, let me have a go.
I'm guessing it's compound interest on shares.
Okay. So compound interest is basically receiving interest on interest. Compound interest on shares, it's the same concept. It's just, when shares pay dividends, instead of taking out your dividend, leave it and reinvest it in the share so that you will earn your money on earning money on money. It's the eighth wonder of the world.
It really is. That just sounds like you're just getting to roll the dice in the craps game every time and you keep winning.
And you win, yeah. So you know that after, at a 12% return per annum, after 6.5 years, you double your money. So that's compounded. That's a clever way of looking at compound interest. If, of course, you were going to take out your interest and take out your dividends every year after 6.5 years, you'd still have only your capital.
Okay. And then the same person says, please check out African Phoenix. I'm guessing that.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know a lot about it, but I have heard some whispers in the corridors, and I have some intention to have a look at it. So I will do. I'll do that today, in fact. We'll talk about it tomorrow.
Very nice, and I must look at you all part of the finance. Anthea, thank you so much. Tomorrow, Wednesday, and then Thursday, you won't be with us.
No, I will see you on Skype. Cheers.
All right. Bye, Anthea. Okay, guys, that's the first hour up. We've got great news, huge amounts of stories and discussions. I've got a funny clip about a politician who speaks in a very high-pitched voice, not always intentionally. Just general stuff right here on the Gareth Cliff Show. Without Gareth Cliff today, he is, he's still in Austin, Texas. Hopefully we can catch up with him tomorrow.
Yeah.
Lots of messages coming through. Okay, we'll get to those in a bit. But we're going to take a bit of a break. We need to cut the podcast up. This is how it works here on the show. And we come back, very, very soon.
What's it now?
Words.
That's the thing. While we're going to a break.
Words. Song.
CliffCentral.com.